Folks, it's hard to find the perfect pair of jeans. You don't want to break the bank, but you need something that lasts. So the problem with jeans is that the really good pairs cost $200 or $300 easily, and the bargain brands just fall apart and look terrible. If you're sifting through sales racks just to find a decent pair of jeans under $100, you can call off the search party. 2017 is here, and you're already behind on this winter's hottest trend, so why not ignore all the fast fashion noise and buy something timeless? Delisted offers luxury gray denim at affordable price. Jeans that would normally cost you hundreds, Delisted has starting at just $75. They utilize the same fabrics, factories, and wash houses as the best known brands and designers, while skipping the markups and middlemen. The result, pure unadulterated denim without the retail runaround. Go to delisted.com, spelled D-S-T-L-D.com, and see where minimalist design meets maximum comfort. Delisted is your answer to elevated style without elevated prices. Just go to delisted.com right now and use the promo code FERAL at checkout and get 20% off your first pair. That's DSTLD.com, promo code FERAL. Five letters, folks. DSTLD.com for your jeans. Testing 1, 2, 3. Good morning. Hello, good morning. Why am I only getting one? Check. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. I'm only getting one in my ear. We got an issue. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Oh, there we go. How do you like that? Good morning. Sorry I'm running just a little late today. We'll get things started in a moment as I warm up the machine. Start with this. Oh, okay, that's better. Closing some windows on my laptop today. Closing some windows on my laptop today. Yes. Let's see what's going on here. You can close windows all day long on this laptop because, listen, it's open, folks, because I am ready for business. I'm always doing business. Wow. Woo-hoo. Well, well, well. This could be louder, couldn't it? I gotta get my pots cleaned on my mixer, I think. Swing day. Why should you want to? All right. Tim and Eric, awesome tour. 10-year anniversary is coming up in a couple weeks. I'm telling you, folks, every single day we are getting together. We're creating. We're inventing new ways to entertain. We're going through the show. We're starting rehearsing. We're getting things together. It's an incredible process. It's a one-of-a-kind process. Starting off in Portland, Maine, where we've never been. I believe there's tickets left there. A lot of sold out shows, some holes, as we said in the video out there. We've added shows, so those shows have not filled in entirely. Third shows in New York and in Chicago and a couple other places. We got some double shows, a double show in LA, still tickets. And, you know, listen, we couldn't do every city. I know we're disappointing people out there. We're not doing an Ohio stop, believe me, I know. There's a bunch of places, and we looked at the calendar, and we just were like, listen, we could be out all year if we wanted to with all the wonderful places out there, all the places we enjoy so much. We said, let's not kill ourselves. Let's get to the, you know, some of the towns maybe that's just a little bigger of a market, as they say, and hit hard. If you want to come see us, you know, and you live in Ohio or Arizona or certain other parts of the country that we're not visiting this time around, take a little trip, take a little road trip, get on a plane, come out and explore a different city. Get out of your comfort zone. Break the bubble that you live in. That's my recommendation for you. Let's talk to Brian Levy. Brian.
Oh, hello, hey, Timmy
Brian.
Boy.
How are you, buddy?
What's going on?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Where are you calling from?
I'm coming from Queens, New York.
Queens.
I'm walking here, baby.
Home of our president.
Exactly. Yeah. I worship
pretty
him
cool.
every day. So I had a question about... Oh, fuck. What was the question? Oh, yeah. So I make stuff, right? But no one wants it.
What do you make?
And
pots and pans?
Like,
what do you make?
Not...
Pots and pans
and stuff. I do editing and
okay,
you know,
you're
like,
creative.
I'm a video guy. But you know, I mean, I get like my couple of views and my friends saying, "Hey, good job." But I was wondering, on the other end, kind of taking it into the mind of a person that you know makes stuff that people do want. Like, kind of just what's it like to be in demand? Because it just seems interesting.
Well, you know, it's never a sure thing. There's not really like I've said before, everything I've done that you've eventually seen has gone through a process of fighting for and doing a lot of convincing and working on convincing people to make it. Putting a lot of work into presenting the concept for it, and then you know, listen, nothing we've ever done really has gotten to that place where it's just a sure thing that it's just like a huge hit, you know. So it's always like, hey, there's an audience, there's good reviews, you know, there's a feeling of that the people that paid for it liked it, or the community around that place liked it, so there's an encouragement there, but there's never this feeling of full-on smashed it out of the park, I've got it made now, no matter
right.
what, you know, so there's the constant struggle of very grateful, but never a feeling like I'm on firm terra firma.
That's awesome.
I think that's possibly a good feeling, and I'm sure that takes that exists on all levels.
Sure. Well, that's actually very encouraging. It tells
Thank
me
you.
I'm sort of on the right track.
You're on the right track, so. Brian. And right. as creators and editors, I have to tell you, we're don't be shy. There's this wonderful thing that happens here where we bring in talented people, and then they get they grow and they continue to grow and they go off and do their own things, and it leaves us, you know, looking for help. We're sometimes can be underemployed, you know, or not underemployed. We could be, you know, needing the talented folks out there. So don't be shy with your work. We're looking forward to seeing it. Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank
Love
you
very
Brian.
Much.
Take care. All right. Off to a very serious start today, talking about creativity, success, and the definition of success. Mason, my baby. Mason, my baby boy. Mason, my baby boy. What's up?
What's up, Timmy? How you doing today, bud?
Cool. Pretty good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois, city by the bay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Love it, Chicago. Loving it.
It's a fun time here in Wicker Park. Hip little neighborhood.
Oh, you you close near that Decker billboard by any chance?
I'm not sure. Where's the billboard at?
I don't know. It's somewhere down that way.
Okay. Well, I take 90 into work every day, so that might be something to look out for today.
Where you work?
I work for a company called Venmo. We are an app for the iPhone.
Venmo?
Yeah. You ever heard of it?
It's it's like a PayPal thing.
Yeah, PayPal owns us, but we're more friends and family, quick money transfer stuff, but you know, just trendy little.
Yeah, I use that. I got people paying me left and right using that app.
Flush with cash.
Oh yeah, I get a lot of people just coming up to me going, "Yeah, can I give you 20? I can hook you up with 20 through Venmo," and pop, I get it. Pop. Well,
if you play your cards right, I can add some money to your account.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, just dump a bunch of cash in there, so I have that on reserve.
What am I going to get back? What are you doing for me here?
I'll leave a voicemail message for you. Leave your outgoing voicemail message. It'll cost you $2,000.
Okay. Well, I think we can swing that.
All right. Let's get that set up offline. We'll talk offline. What? Now, how can I help you today?
Yeah, I just got two quick questions. The first should be easy. What are those green sneakers you've been wearing? Saw an interview.
Oh, yeah, man. They're my Adidas Barricades. I'm wearing a pair of black Adidas Barricades now, and I play tennis. So they're tennis shoes, literally. They're tennis, you know, you see people say tennis shoes, but these are, let me tell you something, these are tennis shoes. These are sneakers, great for tennis. They got a little extra support on the outside arch, so you can do your explosive moves, your lefts and your rights, and your smashes. So I got them for tennis, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to just jazz things up a little bit. I'm going to get a little fun with my footwear, and it's not really my scene or my style to be flashy with wardrobe, as you could tell. You know, I'm usually pretty sort of conservatively dressed or very not drawing attention, but I don't know, something about being 40, being a dad, and listen, they're very comfortable shoes. I mean, they're my favorite sneakers I've ever owned, the Adidas Barricades. So it was a combination of let's just have fun a little bit. They're a conversation starter, as we're discovering right now. And I like to make a joke that if you film them, you could put whatever shoes you want on them because they're basically chroma green. So it's a good conversation starter. It gives me an opportunity to tell a joke or two, and I like having fun with my feet.
See, I love it. I've always been more of a Nike guy, but I'm sort of drifting more towards the Adidas.
I love it, man. I got the Adidas. I got two pairs of the greens, and then a pair of the blacks, which I'm wearing today, like I said. And I wear the blacks. Sometimes I'll just tone things down about wear the blacks, and they just look like a plain old black sneakers. Nothing to write home about. And then I got the Adidas line of socks. I just went full bore on the Adidas. Black socks, got the quarter ankles, and then the crew sock. Okay, so I mix them up. If I'm playing tennis, I'm going to wear the ankle socks, quarter ankle socks. I like them above the ankle. I don't want them below the ankle. Okay?
Yeah, can I get one more question in?
Go ahead.
What, just in general, like, what was the writing and recording process like for Jambalaya? Because I'm just so fascinated by that song. It seems like there shouldn't have been that much effort that went into it. But like.
Well, that is funny. I think I was actually, weirdly, you mentioned that, I was thinking about Jambalaya just this morning, I think. I think it was this morning or it might have been yesterday, just because I was thinking of stuff that we, and almost like back to the first call we had, I was thinking about stuff that we've done that's you know, successful, what is the measure of success, why people have this perception, you know, of how big we are, how successful we are. Sorry about that. Somebody, I got to turn this on, do not disturb. And the subject, I was thinking, well, we put out this album, like a physical thing that, I don't know, I guess it sold probably sold out of what they made, but they didn't make very many. So it's like, but it is a weird thing. It's a weird thing. And the process of recording it, I went to the same studio where I did the In Glendale record. This Pierre DeReeder, who I've known for a while, has got a little studio in the Valley. And we had a friend of mine, Matt Carlin, playing drums, and our Davin Wood, playing keyboards, and Mark Livingood playing bass, and then me and Eric playing guitar. And we just, I think it was about a day, maybe a day and a half. And we just worked out the parts. I mean, they're all very sort of classic rock trope parts that aren't very complicated on their own, but figuring them how they would go into, I think a lot of it we kind of made up on the day. About maybe like the second half of it, but very happy with it as a conceptual thing. The one joke of it being that you flip over, you know, it ends on this gunk, 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 and then you flip it over and it's gunk, gunk, gunk back into it. That's a fun idea that doesn't really work in any other context but the vinyl. So I don't know. It's fun to make that kind of stuff. It's fun to play that kind of music, for sure. But I understand why it's not number one.
Yeah, it's certainly fun to listen to. We would play it on repeat at all of our parties in college, and people would just kind of quit questioning it after a while.
Well, it's, you know, it's gets a little catchy there. It's got some riffs that you know, could be worse.
Yeah. All right, man.
Thanks, well, Mason. See you in Chicago?
Yeah, at the Vic. I will be there Friday.
All right. Thank you. Let's talk to Ryan. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good.
I'm sorry if a bunch of people already asked you that. I'm calling from downtown Pennsylvania.
Yeah, baby. That is my hometown. This is my hometown. This is my hometown. Yeah, well, not quite. But what do you got for me? What's going on in A-Town?
The usual crap. I was wondering if would you be able to say, like, what part you're from?
Yeah, I mean, I don't live there anymore, so I'm not revealing. Well, you got a lot of noise going on. Are you in the car or something?
Yeah, man, I'm sorry. I'm on the road. I'm going to try to get off of here.
Well, I made you roll your windows up or something, maybe.
I'm on foot.
Oh, you're on foot. Well, still, you can roll your windows up. Don't you have windows around you in some way?
No, they're...
Salisbury Township is what you're looking for when you're running a map around the city. West Allentown, Salisbury Township. I went to St. Thomas More Elementary School and then Central Catholic High School. Right.
Cool, man. I used to work there, too.
Where?
At St. Thomas More.
You used to
work? St. Thomas More. I was a waiter at the reception hall.
Oh, cool. Well,
yeah.
That's good for you, Ryan. Thanks for checking in. How are you living there, working there?
Yeah, I live in Allentown. I work south of there.
I think I should move back there and run for Congress.
I wish you would.
Why don't I run?
You'd win.
I'd win, like, in a landslide. I'd knock Dent out.
That's right. Absolutely.
I take it right to him. You know, we wouldn't.
I wanted to thank you, man. This show is great, and it's awesome that you get to talk to your fans like this whole time.
It's my pleasure. I enjoy it very much. I'm talking to you, Dent, Charlie Dent. I'm coming for your seat, and it's time we got some real leadership in that district. Okay?
Hell yeah.
All right, vote for me, Allentown, PA. Thank you very much. Let's talk to Thomas. Check in with Thomas Ulmer. Tommy boy.
Hey, Tim, how are you?
Pretty good, man. Are you still high as a kite from last night's big rally?
I'm a little worried, to be honest, man.
What's wrong?
I think they're gonna kill him.
Who?
One of the people on your side, man. I think the media has hyped this fucking this murder up too much, man. I think everything's, I mean, since you've been watching the news, you know, I don't know how long you've been watching it, you know.
I guess probably since John Lennon was assassinated, 1980.
1980, have you ever seen it this politicized?
The news?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like,
yeah, it's always been, it's been this way, I think, since... the cable news has been this way since probably the mid-90s, I'd say since the Lewinsky scandal of the Clinton administration.
Okay.
With Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, but right. But I'm just saying, like, the pushing of us against one another, you know? Like, it's become very violent. Extremely violent, and it's not
son, I got to tell you something, man. You got to learn your history. I'm reading a great book right now called called Nixon Land, and it's about the 60s and the rise of it sort of follows Richard Nixon's career and tells the story of American politics through the 60s and into the 70s. It's stunning that this country survived the year 1968. look into what was going on in this country in 1966, 1967, 1968. You had hundreds, okay, hundreds of organized anti-government violent protests going on. Okay, you had riots in every major city, race riots in every major city, that sometimes multiple race riots where, you know, that started, some had started peacefully, turned violent through lots of different reasons. You have groups like the Weather Underground. You have a number of very well organized.
Your boy was in that.
Okay, my boy. See, so you're not interested in looking at history. But my point is...
I'm just messing with you.
I know.
I'm listening. I really am listening right now.
But you can't look at what's going on right now, and it doesn't compare. I mean, listen, there's a lot of problems right now, a huge number of problems right now.
It doesn't compare.
But if you look at what was going on in this country, you had the assassination of the Martin Luther King, who was the head of basically the de facto leader of an entire, you know, segment of the population because they didn't consider themselves, you know, legitimate citizens of this country. Assassinated. A couple months later, you have Robert F. Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, assassinated, who was, you know, on the fast track to becoming the president of the United States. Okay. Now, right. And you have the Democratic convention protest riots there, where, you know, you had just total bedlam. So you had a country that was just really, really close to a civil war. So I really it's terrible that there's these isolated incidents out there where people are, you know, this nut with the gun in Virginia. That's unacceptable. Right. This guy does not represent any kind of movement. You know, it's always like, it seems there's, of course, he's influenced by, you know, rhetoric and online vitriol and everything. But the guy's clearly unhinged. He's clearly just a bad guy who has access to high-powered firearms. So, you know, we can talk all day about the reasons people do things, but it's not like he's in a militia or he's not in some kind of organized group whose stated objective is to violently overthrow the government.
Are you worried?
I'm worried, of course. There's a laundry list of things to be worried about.
But you're just like, I mean, y'all are about to go on tour, and you're just not nervous about any of that, like just traveling?
Well, listen, I mean, I was at Legoland yesterday with my daughter, and does the thought cross your mind every hour as you look around going, well, this could be the site of some, you know, lunatic with a machete or with a suicide vest or with a machine gun, you know.
Right.
But it's a big, beautiful country full of mostly decent people. So what are the odds? The odds of also me getting on the roller coaster with my daughter and the thing, you know, malfunctioning and throwing us into the pond. So
yeah,
of course there's reason to be concerned. You look at the situation in North Korea is very, very troubling. You know, there's just, and I don't feel confident in our leadership because I believe that there's a incredible incompetence at the highest levels of government at the moment. So I don't feel confident or assured that we're in a good, safe place as a country. As we deal with the issues coming to us, but am I in a fetal position in my basement, afraid to go out of the house? No, you got to live your life.
Right, you're right. I understand. I don't know. I just wanted to talk to you. I know y'all about to go on tour, so I don't know if we're going to be talking to you for a while. But
I'll try to figure out a way to check in from the road. Okay, we got to keep the conversation going, Tom. All right.
Right.
How's the weather?
I hope you're safe out there, man. Sorry I made everything somber. Hopefully the next caller will brighten
things up. We'll cheer things up. It's a good conversation always, Tom. How's the weather?
I'm from South Carolina, and it's humid as fuck.
Fuck, dude. Summer sucks. All right, bro.
I hate summer.
I'll check you out later.
Buddy.
Bye. going to talk to Three Oranges. Hello.
Hello.
Hey,
can you hear me?
Yes. What is your? I'm not going to call you Three Oranges. What am I, an idiot? Identify yourself. Yeah. First name only would be fine for me.
You can call me Jason.
Hello, so. Jason. Where are you calling from?
Dallas, Texas.
Loving it. Being we're there in a few weeks, in about a month or so.
You are, and there are tickets still available, sir.
They sure are.
I just wanted to bring up the comedy, you know, your movie, which was I thought was amazing.
Well, it's not my movie, but I'm in it. But thank you. Go ahead.
You are in it, but yes. And I was wondering about the process you guys were making in that, and when you guys were making it, and sort of influences on it, and whether you guys ever talked about John Cassavetes at all.
Absolutely.
Kind of a.
I don't remember all the stuff we talked about. I think John Cassavetes, Five Easy Pieces. I don't even know who made that movie, but I know it's influential. You know, those kind of things, or Jim Jarmusch, early Jim Jarmusch, I guess, but I wouldn't speak to Rick. I went into that kind of like, thinking, let's just see how this goes. I mean, let's not overanalyze it. Let's not try to, figure it out ahead of time. Let's just dip in and, start shooting. And if it's not working, like, let me know and we'll figure it out. But for now, let's just like, I think I know what you're trying to get at here, Rick. And I think the only thing I said to him was like, just don't. If you see me acting too much, or if you see me trying too hard, just let me know, or let's tone that down. Let's try not to. I don't want to be embarrassed by this thing, and with very little expectations on what what this was going to end up being. And you know, with any movie of that level, you kind of just say, well, we got a little bit of money to make it. Let's hope it gets into a festival, or let's hope it, gets bought somehow. So the fact that it went to Sundance was very exciting. The kind of polarization that came out of it, the sort of reaction to it, or the retraction from it by the establishment film press or whatever was disappointing, I think, because I felt that there was people like you out there, a younger audience that really connected with it, that seemed to be lost.
I watched it shortly after I watched John Cassavetes' Husbands for the first time.
Yeah.
And that's a hell of a double feature, talking about a lot of the same sort of stuff. So thank you for the movie.
I thank you very much for your comments. A friend of mine was very complimentary, well-respected man, I won't say his name, frequent caller to Office Hours. I was like, geez, it's such a weird movie, such a hard movie for people. I guess I get why. He's like, it's not that weird. It's not that. If you look at something like a Cassavetes movie, or any of those movies from the 70s, they used to make movies like the studios used to make movies like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very funny movie, but it's very intense too. And
it is very intense. Yeah. All right, thanks.
No, thank you.
Take care.
Yeah.
Thomas. Thomas.
Tim.
What's up, brother? My brother. Well, yeah, I hear you loud and clear.
Jimmy, Tommy, I love it that you picked up again on me.
Yeah, we talked a while ago, but I can't remember much about that experience.
Oh, yeah, last time I called, I just became a gold member last time. But I have some questions prepared.
Oh, there you go. Let's start with the first question.
Well, about the Office Hours logo, is that from the Robert Reich Office Hours? Did you get the inspiration from that?
No, I mean, Office Hours is a common thing at colleges. I mean, that's where it came from in my mind, was that I'm sitting at the Absolutely office, and sometimes I've got some dead time in the morning when I should be writing or should be working on something, and it felt like I'm a morning guy, so I'm up, and let's open up my office to fans and listeners or whoever to have a little chat. So, and then I was doing it for a little bit, and then I did see on Facebook that Robert Reich, is it Reich or Reich, whatever? Did a similar kind of thing, which I think, you know, Office Hours is just a pretty open to, it's a free to use general concept. So,
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought it was kind of maybe a little bit of a spoof on his, because last year around election time, he was doing a lot of them.
Well.
And that was kind of when you started too, right?
We started around the same time. I was not aware of it before I started, not to say that he wasn't doing it before me. I don't know. I'm not accusing anyone of anything, of course.
Nor am I.
Thank you. Anything
else?
Wait,
I have one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I heard that one of the previous calls, you mentioned that you might run for Congress.
Yes, I'm running for Congress in Pennsylvania. Allentown, what district is that? I think, we'll find out what district. Allentown, PA, congressional
district.
That
would be amazing if you actually did do that. I don't think you're moving back there, though. So
I won't have to move back.
Maybe.
I won't move back. I will keep.
So,
I'll get an apartment.
I don't know if you're aware, the drummer from the band Fish for Board of Selectmen in Lincolnville, Maine.
15th.
And won.
Pennsylvania's 15th congressional district, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Heidecker will be running in as to represent the 15th district of Pennsylvania for the townships, the communities of Allentown, Bethlehem, a number of other communities, Easton, Mock Chunk. Anyways, I'll be your president. I'll be your leader. I'll be your congressman of that area.
That's up. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts on the drummer from Fish becoming the selectman in his home state of Maine. Have you heard about that or anything?
I did not hear about that.
He was a big supporter of Bernie Sanders, and I think he followed his lead by saying to go, run for your local election.
Right. Well, that does seem to be the thing. If you're a liberal, the idea is get involved on a local level, because the conservatives have been very successful at populating the local chambers of government, and that is where a lot of power can be held if you consolidate it. So the school boards and city councils and all that kind of stuff, if you want to see change. And it's, I don't know how people do it, how you manage to be involved with that kind of stuff and also have a family and I assume you're also working. That can't be a member of like a little local government thing and just be, of course, with Fish Boys, I mean, he's got to have plenty of money in the pocket. So who knows?
Yeah. They go out and do tours, a couple of, 20, 30 shows a year, and then in free time, I guess, right?
I suppose, yeah. Just sit around and work on a drum pattern.
I love your music, by the way, too.
Thank you very much.
Do you ever listen to Elliot Smith's singer stuff that he did when he was around?
Yeah, sure. I got some Elliot Smith.
What are your thoughts on him?
I was never a huge fan. I thought it was... I like it, it was just a singer, very, very, very reminiscent of George Harrison of the Beatles, maybe a little.
He used to cover George Harrison music a lot.
Yeah.
He did some great covers of his
good.
Stuff.
Yeah, I'm not a guy listening to all the time, It's just kind of.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Jay Sukalo band guy. Have you guys watched this Jay Sukalo stuff I've been tweeting? Me and Vic have been tweeting. Wild stuff.
I've been seeing the tweets.
I'm obsessed. I could watch.
It's unbelievable.
Jay Sukalo videos. Just the his pained face of like trying to stay with this band and try to. It just kind of was like no musical. I don't want to say soul, but you know what I mean. Just like it's just not. Something he's ever going to be that good at, but he wants to be, and the rest of the guys are very competent, but it's that competence of like that professional, like I said to Vic, like think it's like the worst thing that happened for music was like the propagation of tabs and like apps where you can like just open up a song, a classic rock song, and it's just all laid out for everyone to play note for note. So it's like, all their covers are these replications, like perfect replications of these songs. But just what for? And why is there like four cameras shooting this? And why are they showing? Jay Sukalo, why is he in it? Why is it his band? Like, does he want to have a band? Like, he wants to have a band, just like make up a name, you know, like, you know, Protectors of Freedom or something. Just like have a band, but what, call the Jay Sukalo Band. So lame when all you're doing is playing bongos and like a little rhythm guitar. It's just this.
Yeah, I picture his band members. I picture his band members just cringing at the thought of them being exposed. I mean, what is the way that they're being exposed?
What
right
is
now.
Jay paying for that experience? What is he offering?
Probably a lot.
I would.
Yeah, he's like a super high-end corporate lawyer.
Yeah, he's got to have big bucks, and he's like, listen, I got all this gear. I've got all this. I bought all this stuff. It's like a guy that is making model railroads or something, but he's like creating a rock and roll fantasy, which is his right to do. And I can't say that for him, it must be fun. If he likes fucking playing Argent, hold your head up high with some guys that can play, I guess, you know, that's his right to do it. But it's just weird to like put it on the internet and like putting up that one where he's playing with, what's his name? They're doing You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine. And Ricky Skaggs, or whatever, is a famous bluegrass
guy. Ricky Skaggs was playing with him.
And he keeps going like D, or F, G, C. And he's telling him the chords the whole way through. Like after the first couple runs of that, you as a musician, and I'm not a great guitar player, but I feel like I have a sort of understanding of music and very basic ear. Like, you would, and especially that song, which is just essentially like three chords, very simple, very, he would just come, he's like, all right, just give me the first, like, what's the verse, chorus? Okay. And then I'll get it from there. But he never picks it up. He never gets into the rhythm of You Are My Sunshine. And he's constantly being told, no, G, G, go to G. But, you know, and so it's all late. And then to put that up on the internet is just baffling and bizarre. And this is who's advising our president right now. So the judgment must be called.
Wait, did they
question.
Do Baba O'Reilly too?
Well, that was I put up a clip of the Grateful Dead doing Baba O'Reilly. That's one of my favorite things ever.
I thought they did it better.
I'm sure they did. I mean, who did it better? you know, we'll look into Jay Sukalo Band. I'll type it in. Jay Sukalo Band. They had to have done Baba O'Reilly, right?
I think I heard it.
There's so many. They put up so many, right? They've done so many.
Yeah.
What's confusing, because there's also this John Schlitt guy who's the lead singer. So these videos are very confusing because it says John Schlitt, Fooling Yourself by Jay Sukalo. I don't see them. I don't see any Baba O'Reilly.
I don't know what I thought of. It was another similar classic rock song.
Anyways, if you're into this kind of stuff, you know, I apologize. I just couldn't believe it. There's the one I sent that was the Three Dog Night song, which I can't remember right now. But it was he's playing the bongo, or he's playing the guitar, and then he's got like a little cymbal set up so he can hit the cymbal for like the big breaks and stuff. Anyways, go look up Jay Sekulo, and again, he's Trump's lawyer who was on all the news shows last weekend getting in trouble. Anyways, I got to go and talk to somebody else. But thank you for calling again, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Timmy.
Bye.
All right.
I want to talk to John Papp. I want to talk to John Papp.
Hello.
John Papp. I want to talk to John Papp. What's up, Johnny?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Queens, New York.
Another
in
Queens
my car.
Boy. Another Queens boy.
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting in a bunch of broken glass waiting for my car to get picked up.
Well, I'm sitting in a bunch of broken glass. And the side of the road is running me dry. Why are you sitting in a bunch of broken glass? Did your car get broken into?
Yeah, this morning they smashed the window, and, well, when you work in the film industry, you still got to drive your car around, even if you got broken windows.
Well, I'm sitting in a pile of broken glass. My car is run down right and running
red and right around and right around.
We can work on that together.
It's good. I like it.
Well, I'm sitting in a pile of broken glass. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm late for class. Ain't nobody gonna stop me from living my dreams. Ain't nobody gonna stop me from living my dreams.
What do you got for me today?
Well, I wanted to ask you, did you ever find yourself, before Adult Swim and before, I guess, you were paid to be creative? Because I try to be a creative type. I also work in the film industry, as you know, very long hours. Did you ever find yourself in a place where you're trying to balance the two, like your professional career and your creative career?
I never really considered myself having a professional career. I had jobs. And so I would have to work so I could pay my bills and live and stuff. But I never put too much energy or effort into those jobs.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I was never a very good employee.
Right, right.
So I got lucky that I didn't have to, that I got an opportunity to do my own thing, because I wasn't very successful as a working in any other field.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever like a PA or anything?
Yeah, in college I did some PA work. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, okay. I was good enough. I mean, I didn't slag off. I did my job. I worked hard. I guess I was thinking more of the office jobs I had in New York before we got Tom Goes to the Mayor, where I just kind of showed up and really just kind of waited for lunch to come around and then waited for it to be 5 o'clock. Did some writing and some creative stuff out of that office, but I never really kind of got into the job itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see.
All right. Thanks, John. Good luck.
Thanks
to
a
you.
Lot, Tim. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Let's take John, Sean Carney. Hi, Sean. How are you?
I'm good, Tim. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you? What's going on? Where are you calling from?
I'm pretty good. I'm calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, your old stomping ground.
Yeah. Yeah. How can I help you today?
So, a couple months ago, you had a caller call in, and what did he do? He did some old church hymns. I believe you guys did the "I'll raise you up
on eagle's wings." There you are. What about it?
So, can I ask you for a little help? I have two more. I used to be an old Catholic boy back in the day.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember some of the lyrics.
Okay.
Let's see if we can get two more. This is all I remember. This is all I remember so far. So there's, "Come to the table of heaven and earth. Come to the table of plenty." Remember that one?
I don't remember that one. Next.
Okay, what about this one? "Dance, dance, wherever you may be." You remember that one?
Dance? Are you saying?
Yeah, it goes, "Dance, dance, wherever you may be."
No, those are lost on me, friend. I don't. Why are they singing about dancing? Dancing for the Lord or?
Dance. Yeah, yeah. "You are the Lord of the dance."
"I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin." You don't know that one?
My hand will save.
"Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you need me, or if you lead me, I will." Something in that.
Yeah, just trying to remember the lyrics to some of these.
I don't remember those, pal. I'm sorry. I wish I could have helped you. Bye, Sean.
Yeah, that's all right.
All right. We couldn't get the lyrics for Sean. Crane Bear, my boy.
Hey, Timmy.
Yeah, dude, what's going on?
Well, I'm probably the number one handsy boy when it comes to your show.
Cool.
And, I just had one question for you.
Go ahead.
So, would you say that Greg Turkington or Agent Kingston or Kingpin or whatever you call him, would you say that Kingpin. He's one of your best friends or one of your worst nemesises?
Well, I don't, as you know, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, I do not discuss the On Cinema Decker world in character. I discuss it as Tim Heidecker myself, the normal guy that you love to love. So I will say that the man, Greg Turkington, who lives as a man outside of On Cinema and Decker, is a wonderful man, a great friend, and a lovely person to collaborate with and spend personal time with.
That's fantastic.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be working with him. Listen, I don't like to surround myself with a bunch of lowlifes and pains in the asses. You know, it's got to be a fun hang. Otherwise, what are you doing with your life?
Absolutely.
And by the way, let me say this Sunday, I've said this the other day on Twitter, this Sunday's episode of Decker, which I believe is called The Private Sector.
Good name.
Is one of my favorite. There's a couple of moments in there that's got to be up there my top list of things I've maybe ever done, and it's one of my favorite episodes of the show. And it's a lot of fun. It's a fun episode. Check it out. Keep watching. We've got more in store. More Decker every Sunday. And watch it. How's everybody enjoying the season? How does everybody watch it? Is it easy to watch? Is it hard to watch?
Sorry. Is it okay if I answer that question?
Go ahead, please. The floor is yours.
Yeah. So I actually I don't have like the payment information. Or, sorry. I don't have a subscription with Adult Swim, and so like when you send out the links for it. Like on your page, I just click it there, and I enjoy some goofs and laughs at that point.
Great. So my outreach is working for you.
Yes, correct.
Terrific. And also, if you download the Tim and Eric app, do you have an iPhone?
Yeah, I actually do have the app. I just I guess maybe I was on it before you put all the episodes of Decker out, but I didn't see it.
We've just added the new season of Decker to the Tim and Eric app. It still runs through Adult Swim, so all it does is link you to Adult Swim's video player. So if you're, I think they put up they usually put up this week's episode, or like, you know, Sunday's episode, that'll be up there for a week and you can watch it without needing the cable subscription. But so it should be up on the app now. The latest episode from last week is up, Double Decker. And it's a good way to watch old episodes and explore other projects that we have created in the past. So I recommend we're working on it, making it better. Looking forward to your always looking for your feedback in that department. And one more final plug before I go, because I have to leave soon, because there's so much on the plate, is of course Neil Hamburger and Tim Heidecker in the UK this August at the Soho Theatre. Go to sohotheatre.com and pick up your tickets. We've got 2 weeks of shows, so we've got some tickets still available on a few nights, and there will be two On Cinema events as well throughout those 2 weeks.
Fantastic.
All right.
Tim,
and Manchester, England will be, is that what you say? Manchester, UK, will be up there as well. So look for Neil Hamburger or Tim Heidecker, keyword Manchester. That'll be, I think it's like September 1st or August 31st or some shit like that. Check that to shit out.
Hey, Tim, I ask you, thank you for all that plug information.
Sorry about all that, guys, but I got to do it. What are we doing here? I got to let people know. Some people don't know.
Sure. I'm a shameless promoter myself. I'm a crooner, so I like seeing like Frank Sinatra and shit like that. But in any case, I just wanted to ask you one last thing. So my full name is Crane Bear, and I think it would be hilarious if like somehow you incorporated like that name as like one of like the villains in one of your shows at one
point. It'll be hilarious to who? You and no one else? Come on, man. Figure it out. Okay. Thank you.
Well,
all right. Liesl Shearer. Liesl.
Hi, Tim.
Hi. I'm so happy to hear from you because we're about to be a lady-free episode of the show until I picked up on you. I thought Liesl. I couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman's name, and I got lucky, as they say.
Yes, you said it right and everything.
Well, how are you today? Where are you calling from?
Arizona.
Hot as hell or what? I mean, what are we doing? 120?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's really freaking hot. It's crazy. question for you.
Go ahead.
Me and my husband, we've been watching a lot of Tiny Tim videos, and I was wondering if he ever inspired any Tim and Eric sketches, because he totally looks like he could come right out of Tim and Eric to me.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say directly inspired anything. I mean, he was certainly a presence growing up. I was aware of him and was aware of his appearances. Certainly the concept of sort of outsider performers coming and doing their own thing and laughing at it a little bit with it. This might be interesting to you. There's supposed to be a really good biography of him that's come out recently. Greg actually said is fantastic. And so look into that. There's a new book about Tiny Tim that's supposed to be really, really fantastic.
Awesome. I'll have to check that out.
Thank you so much for calling. All the best to Tiny Tim.
Thank you.
We'll take a couple more calls today. Chris, you've been calling in. Chris, you've been waiting patiently. How can I help you today, Chris?
Oh, this is awesome. I'm at work right now in like the server room, so I'm hoping I don't get caught.
I hear the fans are blowing.
Yeah, that's the gotta keep this room nice and cool. It's like 50 degrees, so it doesn't overheat.
Oh well, be careful. What are you guys serving up? Where you work?
I work at like an insurance company in like Lower Manhattan. But I'm like an intern, so I just gotta make sure these computers don't explode.
Oh boy! Well, keep interning away, and hopefully you'll become a full-blown insurance adjuster up in the big top floors, the top levels.
Oh, I hope not. This is just a summer internship.
Okay. How can I help you today?
You're like a really big comedic inspiration for me because I do comedy a lot, and like. One thing that really like stuck out to me was when the new season of Decker was like being advertised on Adult Swim. I noticed that like a lot of people were like in the comments either like not getting it or like if they're not familiar with like On Cinema or whatever. And like as a comedian, I'm like trying to be a comedian. I don't know. I feel like a lot of time I'm super into like alternative comedy, but I always got to go out there and like I feel like I have to do things that appeal to like a wide audience. So then I like got into like On Cinema and stuff kind of recently and like seeing that it's okay to do a little more niche comedy is like really cool to me.
I see those comments and it's been that way forever at Adult Swim
right.
For us. There's always a loud contingent of people who hates that we have shows, who loud about it on the comment sections, whether it's on their message board or on Facebook or whatever. And it's always the same thing. Whose dick are these guys sucking to keep getting TV shows? You know, no one likes to hear that. You know, we never make stuff to intentionally antagonize or alienate people. We just make what we want to make. We make what we think is funny, what we think would be creatively satisfying. So then I see that Facebook post and the guy goes, whose dick does this guy suck to get a TV show? And I go, what's the matter? Why it seems so clear what's funny about this to me or whatever. But then I see, you know, the likes and the stuff. There's like hundreds of those or thousands sometimes. So there's way more people that, A, don't care, B, like it and express that they like it. C, there's people that like it, love it even, would never in a million years go on any internet platform and say that publicly, right? You know, you just like, I don't sit around and click likes on the shit that I like.
Yeah.
You know, And so then there's this small group of, you know, miserable people who feel like this is their outlet for, you know, expressing their frustration. And I actually did this. Every once in a while, I'll go and, like, click through on one of the people that write that. And I found this kid. And it was so depressing when I went down the rabbit hole of his life, you know, like his Facebook world. Oh, my God. You know, he had written something like, this is the worst shit I've ever seen. And I go, okay, let's see who this is. And it was so sad. He was so depressed. And, like, he had all these, like, posts about anxiety and his health and depression and then lots of posts about, like, superhero stuff and lots of, like, you know, guys, some of these people are really into, like, superheroes and comics and, you know, all kinds of stuff that I don't connect with at all. I certainly wouldn't, like, be public about. So I just feel like, well, there's just lots of different kinds of people out there. A lot of these people are not happy. They're not in a good place in their life. So there's some of that. And you just got to try to ignore some of it and do what makes you happy. And if it connects, it's going to, you know, maybe if it connects with people, it'll be a good thing for you.
Oh, cool.
All right. Well, thanks, Chris.
Thanks so much.
Let's take one more call today, and then I really have to get to work, Luke. I've got so much on my calendar right now. Luke?
Hey, Tim.
Luke, I see a tennis racket behind you in your picture. Are you a tennis boy?
I play a few rounds with my friends when I can.
Yeah. It's a nice-looking racket.
Yeah, it's my dad's.
Nice.
Yeah, we play tennis when we can. I'm not, a pro or anything, though.
No, I'm not great myself, but I can play enough where you can get some, you know, some physical activity going.
Yeah. Do a little bit of cardio action there,
that's
I guess.
Right. How can I help you today?
I was actually wondering about your connection with Amy Mann. I was looking at some of her videos yesterday, and I see you pop up in one of them.
Well, I maybe have spoken about this before, but I've been friends with Amy Mann now about almost 10 years, I guess. I met her, my wife and her became friends. They met each other at a party that we were at, and they became friends. And I got kind of brought into the friendship through that. And she didn't know who the hell I was and didn't know my work or anything, but we became very good friends, and I'm friends with her husband as well, and we have a nice long-standing very adult boring friendship. You know, we go over and watch TV when we can, and have dinner dates occasionally, and have done some holidays together and stuff. And, big fan of her music, big fan of, she's very talented, and I'm always proud to see her continue to make her last album, if anyone has heard, is wonderful. Beautiful.
Yeah, mental illness.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I saw her last night up in Annapolis, Maryland.
Oh, terrific. Yeah, all right, well, listen, thanks, Luke.
No problem.
Take care.
All right, see ya.
All right, folks, I really do have to run. Let me just talk to Harley. Harley, you're my last caller today. How can I help you? Hello, Harley? Hello?
Oh, how's it going, Tim?
Good. How are you? What's going on?
I'm hanging in there.
How can I help you? How can I help you?
Just sitting back, watching some Howard Stern, playing some music.
Yeah, man.
How you been lately?
Huh?
How you been lately, man?
I'm busy, man. I'm busy. I got lots on my plate I got to take care of. I got to get this tour together and editing the bedtime stories together and, you know,
damn,
got a bunch of other things on my plate. You got to let me get back to work.
Music, video.
Taking care
are you
of my
family. Coming through?
Huh?
Are you coming through Richmond, Virginia by any chance?
Closest we're getting to Richmond, pal, is D.C. Come on up.
Cool.
All right.
Awesome.
Let's end on that note. Wonderful note. Thanks for all the energy, Harley. You are the number one boy. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Sorry for my impatience and my limited scheduling time today. Wow, we got a lot of pot issues here.
All right, listen, thanks, everybody. I do appreciate everything. Don't forget to check out Tim and Eric on tour this summer, timanderic.com. You'll find your tickets available there, as well as sohotheater.com for the London shows. We'll be back next week for my...